This is a Triple M Footy podcast with all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy. It's Tom Brown's news.
All the on-field action from round 9 is in the books, so now it's time to turn our eyes to all the news in the footy world. No man is better equipped for that job than Tom Brown, and I've managed to track him down and get him in a studio. And Tommy, Carlton are the big story from the weekend, mate.
They're the big talking point this week, Rudy. Their season now on the line, Carlton outside the eight. I'll start with the comments of Brad Lloyd, their football boss, who has done the speaking, so to speak, post the 20-point loss on Saturday night against the Bulldogs. And he was asked in particular yesterday about their finals prospects and also his view of the board following Bruce Matheson's comments during the week. Just for some context, Bruce Matheson's the billionaire pokies king, who's a great benefactor for the Blues. He came out in the Herald Sun on Friday and said the Blues board was, quote, weak, unquote. Said that Michael Voss would ultimately cop it in the neck, and said that there was one director that caused them to miss out on Ross Lyon. But this was Brad Lloyd speaking yesterday.
We want to play finals. There's no doubt about that. We're here to play finals. I think Luke Sayers, we're pretty lucky to have him, really. Like, he's a class businessman, and one of the best things to happen in the club, Vossy, with coming in and the leadership he shows.
Now, Rudy, the 20-point loss to the Bulldogs on the weekend hasn't done much to dissipate the pressure on Carlton. My first point on all this was some of the pressure on Carlton, in fact, most of it last week, was self-inflicted. It came from Bruce Matheson, the supporter, through the Herald Sun, obviously heaping pressure on the club. So that's like a, I wouldn't call him a disaffected supporter, he's an influential supporter, but it came from Bruce. And it also came from the fact that Brian Cook, their very well-regarded CEO, as well as Adam Chera at the start of last week, Cookie on the Friday night before, had said that it wouldn't be the end of the world, effectively, if the Blues were to miss finals. Clearly, they've straightened up that messaging over the weekend, and they're now on record. The football boss, Brad Lloyd, is sort of putting his neck on the line there, and out a bit, if you like, that he said they've got the resources, players, and the structures at Carlton to make the finals. Keeping in mind that Brad Lloyd wasn't appointed by this particular administration as such, so he's sort of gone out on a bit of a limb there, Brad Lloyd, as far as that's concerned. In terms of some of the critique of over the weekend, you would have seen it on all the shows and all the rest of it, Rudy. You know, they were slow with their ball movement. Their game style, you know, is arguably easy to play against. Mackay at times held them up in the first half in particular. They were kicking across the goals. It was so bad that some supporters were jeering and even booing their Brownlow medalist and favourite son, Patrick Cripps. Cripps, Rudy, kicked from the right-hand pocket 25 metres out, which was on his non-preferred side, and snapped and missed everything. So that was a bit of a head-scratcher. And that just frustrates Carlton fans because they don't obviously, in some views, don't do the basics properly. So they're all the criticisms which you'll hear all week from an on-field perspective. Off-field, the situation's pretty interesting at Carlton. They've got a very influential president in Luke Sayers, who's a very well-regarded businessman, one of Melbourne's sort of, you know, movers and shakers, if you like. But he's out at the end of next year because he won't seek an extension of his term. Brian Cook's deal, the CEO's deal, very well-regarded CEO. That was a coup when they got him. His deal's out at the end of next year, I think next October, as far as I know, at the end of 24. And so is Michael Voss's. And they're all basically aligned with Michael Voss. And in the background at the moment, there's frustration over the fact that they got Voss, not Ross. Carlton missing out on Ross Lyon when they could have had him. So that's the sort of situation this week at the Blues. I think you'll find, Rudy, I'll just concentrate on the Pies, but very much their next month, Carlton's will define their season and where all this goes. It was self-inflicted, some of the media pressure and pressure on themselves last week. Voss commented post-game, he's well aware of it, but they just have to focus on the internals. I think that's what they'll get down to do this week, Rudy, but they are a big story, and at the moment, on and off the field, the biggest talking point of the week.
Every Wednesday, it's Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
It feels like I'm coming out to fight.
Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damian Barrett break down anything and everything AFL. The Midweek Rub. Get it every Wednesday by following Triple M Footy on the Listener app.
Now, Tommy, Taron Thomas is back sort of in the fold for North Melbourne.
You reported this last night, Rudy, back at the senior training this week for North Melbourne. Still no chance of a senior debut, is my understanding, this weekend. Obviously, they could do with him because Davies Uniacke is injured, and there's a big question mark now surrounding Zerha and a potential fractured jaw or cheekbone. He had that scanned. Yes, they will learn more about that today. But Taron Thomas back in the fold at North Melbourne. But my understanding is he won't be available for senior selection this week. Some of North's efforts over the weekend singled out on Fox last night by David King. And I think that might have been a source of some of Clarkson's frustrations over the weekend. So North will be a talking point this week, Rudy, again. But just one point on all that. Alistair Clarkson, I think, is there for the long haul. I've seen his presentation regarding list building at Hawthorn. He's well aware of the players that give effort and don't. I wouldn't want to be a North player at the moment that's not giving sufficient effort, because he's going to be pretty brutal, I would have thought. And he's very much there long term to, I guess, try and return them to success. So I think Alistair Clarkson's well aware of the efforts that are required by the players, Rudy.
A few injuries around the competition, firstly from the North game and then also Melbourne themselves.
Yes, yeah, so I mentioned Davies Uniacke and obviously Zerha. From the Melbourne situation, Christian Petrarca and Harrison Petty both had scans yesterday. The messaging overnight out of Melbourne is that Petrarca should be right for this Friday night. Having said that, they haven't commented on the specific scan itself. And Petrarca didn't want to comment on his injury situation yesterday morning, which is understandable at scans. Petty is, I think, a bigger concern. He was in a moon boot yesterday, and there's obviously concerns around his foot, Rudy.
The match review officer, Tommy Patrick Cripps, has copped an interesting sanction.
He copped a fine, Cripps, for pulling Bailey Smith's hair, which I guess is fair enough. I mean, he shouldn't be pulling hair. I'm not sure he pulled on it per se. I think he sort of just yanked it a little bit, but I guess that's a pull.
That's pulling it?
That's pulling it. So he got a $1,000 fine. Now, Murphy was fined for dacking Aaron Cabin. I'm a bit more circumspect on that, Rudy. Dacking's all right. A bit of a plumber's crack. Who cares?
I think
pull up your shorts and get on with it.
It's a precedent you don't really want to set. You don't want kids dacking each other at footy.
No, I agree with that. So we don't want to get kids dacking each other. So he got a fine for that. Just on Cripps, he's a discussion point from the weekend. I mentioned his goal kicking, the champion Brownlow medalist. There is a school of thought now that thinks that if you can shut him down at the stoppages, like what Liberty did over the weekend, and then you can run off him, like what Bailey Smith did, and then Dunkley did that the week before. I was just on Footy Talk with Abby Holmes and Dale Thomas, Daisy Thomas, Rudy, on Listener, and Daisy had a good idea about potentially sending Cripper up forward. So there'll be lots of discussion this week about Carlton's forward line solution. I noticed, obviously, in the second half on the weekend, they went smaller in the forward line and dragged Mackay and even, well, certainly Mackay further up the ground. But an interesting idea from Daisy about maybe sending Cripper, if he's getting some pretty tight treatment in around the contest, up forward. Perhaps that could be a good idea.
And finally, Tommy, you want to touch on Mason Cox.
Rudy, I know you don't want me crapping on about the Pies, and I don't want to become a Nuffy Pies fan, and I know there's some vision of the Pies post one of their recent wins where I'm clapping or something. Anyway, I digress. Back on to more important matters. The Pies absolutely dominated the Giants yesterday. Mason Cox, a big discussion point. I thought it was interesting, Rudy, that he's able to now Cox to kick from outside 50 metres. He usually stabs at them from about 35 or 40 and just makes the distance. I think he's a weapon in terms of generating possession numbers, but also if he can keep kicking from outside 50, he becomes a particular weapon for the Pies, Rudy.
Yes, I agree. Very important point of difference for them, because he's a big man who can take a big mark. Let's move on to some burning questions. Tommy, first off, was this Chris Scott quote the most honest we've ever heard from a coach?
In an era of line and length coaches' press conferences, Rudy, this was the most refreshing grab for mine in quite a long time. Honesty from the Cats coach.
This notion that, oh, when really important players go out, the next soldier just steps up. Like, please. It makes a difference. Of course it does. So the difference between, your really important players and the next guy coming in is huge. Like, that's just logical.
I'd love to have a glass of wine with Chris Scott and just get his thoughts, honest thoughts on issues. I think he's a very, very clever bloke, Rudy.
Yes, a good thinker on the game. Now, Tommy, will Carlton, St Kilda or Sydney be the safer bet for TV games in the next fixture drop?
So the fixture drop will drop 16 to 23. That's round 16 to 23 in the next couple of days. I'm sure the AFL today and Seven and Fox, they're just having a last minute head scratch on whether Carlton, St Kilda or Sydney are most likely to get in the eight, because that'll affect their fixturing on Thursday, Friday nights and obviously Sunday afternoons in particular. Who's the most likely? Well, you could argue Carlton is probably the most likely. And even if they start losing, it becomes a bit of a train wreck per se in terms of watching all the things that go on at Carlton. Now, that's a bit of a sport in AFL. I say that with the greatest of respect. So I'd say Carlton in that group. Sydney, interestingly, over the weekend, I think they will get Rampy back relatively soon and also Tom McCartan, which is very important from a defensive perspective. But they lost Mills on the weekend, and there's a question mark surrounding McDonald. So they've got big injury issues, Sydney. And St Kilda, I like what Ross said yesterday. He said, like, they deserved a mulligan for their performance against Adelaide. For those that don't play golf, that's like a shot that you can take back. I thought it was a good grab. For mine, St Kilda could end up being disappointing. I think they need some more top-end talent, and they've done well in terms of their start to the season. But all that is a prediction, Rudy.
Focusing a little bit more back on the on-field stuff, Tommy, North Melbourne, West Coast and Hawthorn, they have four wins between them, all with percentages 63 and under. Are they distorting the fixture?
Rudy, the fixture is always going to have teams that are unsuccessful throughout the year. Only 8 teams will make the finals. 10 teams at the moment won't. The argument at the moment, and I think you've got some stats on this, is that those teams are particularly bad and it's distorting the fixture. My only point would be clearly the fixture is enhanced when one of the teams, because it's basically graded 6, 6 and 6 when they set up the fixture, when one of the teams has a great season from outside that top 6, for example, Collingwood last year after missing the 8 the year before, that enhances the fixture. The same thing happened to the fixture in 2016 when the Bulldogs won. So at the moment that's not happening. What you've got is a group of sides, 7 or 8 sides at the top that are dominant, and then it's beginning to look like it falls away. I'm aware it's a problem, Rudy. I'm not aware of what the solution is if you have 23 or 24 rounds.
One last one, Tommy, before we go. Jack Riewoldt and Tom Hawkins had a very heartwarming photo out on the MCG. They'd swapped Guernseys on Friday night. Does this sort of suggest that one or both of them will retire at the end of the season?
Retirement talk, I'll wait for until the end of the season. I don't usually like jumping the gun on that. I think it's widely accepted that Jack Riewoldt's probably in his last season. He's had an incredible career and continues to play reasonably well and certainly play an important role for the Tigers, who I might add, it's worth mentioning, really were back to their old selves. I was there on the boundary on Friday night. They were great on Friday night. Congratulations to Richmond. Tom Hawkins, I firmly believe, will play on. I think his manager's having a short break in the next couple of weeks. When he returns from overseas, his management group, TLA, will sit down, I think, with Geelong and formalise an extension. Tom only signed on for 1 year this year, but he's arguably in, well, equal career best form. I know he had a quiet-ish game on the weekend, but that was uncharacteristic, and I'm quite sure, injury permitting, Tom Hawkins will play on next year, Rudy. Even if Geelong won the flag, I think he'd keep playing.
I think that'll do us for today. We'll have you back in on Thursday for all the rest of the news.
Can't wait, Rudy.
See you then.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more. And subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener to get all our podcasts throughout the season. Barine Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.